Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Programme for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our programme is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the Maitreya program. Today we have a program about two disciples of the Masters of Wisdom, Alice A. Bailey and Swami Nirliptananda. Raoul Williams, or Willems, met Alice Bailey in 1936 in Antwerp and became her first co-worker in Belgium. Raoul Williams was 91 years old when this interview took place. He lived a busy and eventful life as a director of an international company, a distinguished soldier, decorated for valor under fire. He escaped what seemed like certain death no fewer than seven times. He had a particular interest in the natural sciences, in particular biology and ornithology. He was also interested in astrology. The late Alain Alvouet from Brussels, Belgium, interviewed him. And this interview was first published in Share International, July-August 1988.
And this interview starts, could you tell us something of the circumstances in which you got to know Alice Bailey? And Raoul Williams, or Willems, I should say, replied, that was in 1936, shortly after her marriage to Foster Bailey. And having set up an office in New York, she went with him to England, her native country, where they lived in Tunbridge Wells in Kent. They travelled to Europe several times to try to stimulate interest in her organisation called World Goodwill. I met with them one fortunate evening at a French-speaking lodge at the Theosophical Society in Antwerp. The chairman of the lodge, the lawyer Wittemans, introduced me to the Baileys.
When they heard that I spoke fluent English, they immediately invited me to have dinner with them at a restaurant on the Groenplatz. The conversation ranged far and wide. I remember that Alice recalled an incident which occurred in Madras, India, where the Theosophical Society had its headquarters. The society ran a vegetarian restaurant there. Alice and her friends used to take turns in serving the meals in the dining room. One day, two gentlemen came in and asked for steak and chips. Alice went to the kitchen to ask what she should do. The response was very unfriendly, and she was told to show the customers out. However, Alice did not consider this a polite way to behave and replied, "What goes into the mouth is less important than the words that come out of it." Whereupon, she took off her apron and left. That was my first encounter with her.
The Baileys invited me to stay with them in England for a few days so we could get better acquainted, which I did. Mrs. Bailey prepared the meals herself, and for several days I sat at dinner with her husband, one of her daughters with her baby, a colleague who lectured throughout the United Kingdom, and a Dutchman who was later to work with me in Antwerp. During this time, Foster Bailey was trying to establish a telepathic link with a friend in Australia. And the next question, were you able to attend any of the telepathic transmissions from the Master DK via Alice Bailey? And actually, we should mention here that Alice Bailey worked closely with one of the Masters of Wisdom and the Master DK, and from that, about 30 books were published, which forms part of what we call the Ageless Wisdom Teachings. Anyway, back to the article. Raoul Williams answered, "Oh yes, I was even privileged to be a witness of an important change in the way this was done. After spending several days with them, Foster Bailey invited me into his wife's bedroom so that I could see for myself how she received the messages from the Master DK, also called the Tibetan.
I can still see her now as she sat bolt upright in bed. In her left hand, she held a notebook in which she wrote with her right at an amazing speed. While she was writing, her husband whispered in my ear that his wife had begun writing at 6 a.m. She only stopped at about 10 a.m., totally exhausted. On one of the days I was there, she complained that she could no longer go on because she was on the point of collapse. And Share International asked, how did the master respond to that? Well, Mrs. Bailey seemed to listen for a moment, and then turning to us, she said, DK answers that he has thought about it. Instead of speaking, he will project his thoughts in sentences on the wall. And all I will have to do is dictate them into a microphone. We will begin as soon as the necessary recording equipment has been installed.
From that moment on, and for 2 days, I only briefly saw Alice Bailey at the dinner table, for she was feverishly buying and installing the necessary apparatus. When the first experimental sessions were ready to begin, Foster came to fetch me to witness this new type of transmission. While Alice spoke, a wax roll, revolving at a steady rate, recorded all her words. Every 20 minutes or so, a typist came to change the full roll for a new one. Now, I suddenly recall a small anecdote which I would like to tell you. It was an amusing incident. I was alone with Alice in her room. While we were talking, my attention was caught by the odd behaviour of the door, which kept opening and closing even though there was no draught. Alice followed my gaze and immediately called out, "You little imp, out!" Turning back to me, she said, "It was a small elemental which was having a bit of fun swinging on the door by holding on to the latch. When I intervened, it jumped down and ran away crying."
Having stayed with them at Tunbridge Wells for about 2 weeks, I returned to Antwerp. Mrs. Bailey told me that she would soon be coming to Belgium to give some talks and ask if I would translate for her. Several weeks later, she did indeed come to Antwerp and Brussels. In Antwerp, the Flemish branch of the society was beginning to have some success. It was decided to do a simultaneous translation of the next talk into both French and Dutch. This was not a success because the interval between the English sentences became too long. I did, however, manage to interest the French language press in her visit, and many articles were published. I gathered a group of 14 people together, and calling ourselves the Builders of the New Age, we disseminated the leaflets produced by World Goodwill in Dutch as well as in French.
Our activities continued until early in 1942. Then one of our members warned me that the Germans had decided to send me to a concentration camp. Because then I would be of no use to the World Goodwill organisation and I would be making my wife an unhappy widow, I asked if the decision could not be reversed. The reply came that I would have to give up completely organising and attending meetings or corresponding with America. I capitulated, for I had no other choice. After the war, I organised monthly full moon meditations for many years, but could no longer give the same commitment to World Goodwill because I was too busy building up the international company for which I was working.
Right, another question. What was the expectation at that time of the reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom? Well, I cannot remember anything being said on that subject, either before or during the war. In the Arcane School teachings, there was at that time no mention about it either. Everything was concentrated on preparing for discipleship and the translations of the book The Reappearance of the Christ, which was published in 1948, but it only reached us in the late 50s. I remember that the book was well received by some people, but there were quite a few reservations about it, in particularly among my friends who were predominantly committed Catholics. They were convinced that the catastrophic doomsday predicted in the Bible was still to come. I, myself, am not bound to a church and feel free to attend any religious service. As far as I am concerned, there is only one God who is worshipped in differing ways. As far as the apocalypse is concerned, I have the impression that we are, in a certain sense, still experiencing it now.
Is it not incredible how much decadence there is at present? Millions of people live in total poverty and millions are starving to death in a world where there is more than enough food for everyone. Not to forget the pollution of the natural environment, pollution which is reaching intolerable dimensions and is, besides, a consequence of man's selfishness. Technology has been harnessed to a system of competition with get-rich-quick as the motivation. It seems to me normal that in such circumstances of degeneration and decadence that Christ would have to return, and I hope as soon as possible, in order to prevent a third world war. But I do realise that it will have to be the disciples and men and women of goodwill who will have to do the work themselves, for the Christ and the Masters can only show us the way, advise and encourage us.
Another question. What do you think about, or what do you think yourself about the information that the crisis in the world now? I am very happy that the world is being protected by Maitreya's presence, and also that someone such as Sathya Sai Baba, who I believe might indeed very well be a cosmic Christ, has said that he will never allow a global nuclear conflict to take place. I participated in Brussels in one of the transmission meditations led by Benjamin Krem, and it is my personal meeting with him which convinced me of the truth of the Christ's presence. My impression is that Krem is not an ordinary preacher. He does not put himself above his audience and is not trying to gain a following. His teaching is simply to give information. Above all, I appreciate his lively sense of humor. But sometimes he looks transfigured. His words no longer seem to come from himself. Obviously, he is then being overshadowed. His answers in Maitreya's mission to the many questions, some of them quite silly, I find extraordinary. Such answers can only be possible if there is contact with a master of the wisdom who seems to know everything. Krem's contact with a master is unmistakable to me, the more so because, as far as I can tell, it does not contradict any of the information which the master DK has given via Alice Bailey.
And another question, what do you think about Maitreya's emphasis on the need for sharing? And Raoul's response, the age of Aquarius is undoubtedly the age of sharing and thereby the era of universal brotherhood. It is also a very positive sign that the Pope, in a recent encyclical, speaks out loud and clear in favour of a better distribution of the wealth of the planet. It is obvious that with only 1% of all income spent on weapons, it should be possible to organise an emergency program very speedily to end the scandal of starvation. Speaking of the Pope, Krem's scenario that after the Day of Declaration, Maitreya will introduce the Master Jesus to the world and that he will take over the throne of Saint Peter corresponds with the prophecy of Saint Malachi, of the primate of Ireland in the 12th century. He gave Latin symbolic names to all the popes, whereby the next pope will be the last of 111 popes. This pope has been named by him De Gloria Olive, Glory of the Olive Branch, which is supposed to signify that this pope will inaugurate a time of profound reconciliation and peace.
I know that it might sound a bit too far-fetched to many Christians, but I think that it could very possibly be the Master Jesus himself. I look forward with impatience to the Christ's Day of Declaration, an event which I never would have thought I would live to experience. It affects me very deeply. I hope that he who has come as a thief in the night will soon appear to so that biblical prophecy, every eye shall see him, will be realized. I really hope that this planetary Pentecost will stimulate all men and women of goodwill to build together a society which is worthy of humanity.
So that ends that article, which was from the July-August 2020 issue of Sri International Magazine and republished from a much earlier issue. Now we have an article titled Life is Sacred, and it's about Swami Nirliptananda. This is from a more recent issue, the March issue. The following few selections were taken from a number of articles written by Swami Nilaptananda over the course of many years of kind cooperation and association with Share International magazine. And here it begins. The conflicts of our present-day world are a result of particular ideals and objectives in life, namely materialism. Living in a materialistic world, we tend to be tempted by various things that divert us from our real and true self, or Atma, or inner being. When our inner source is sapped, we try to fill the inner emptiness that remains with all sorts of rubbish. Ultimately, in spite of all the efforts to fill this emptiness, we still do not find inner peace and harmony.
How can we have happiness? In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that when our mind is at a state of conflict, we cannot think correctly, we cannot sit quietly or meditate. Without meditation, we cannot have inner peace. Without inner peace, can there be such a thing as happiness? That is why we say shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Shanti, shanti is the most essential thing of life. Without peace, we cannot find happiness or satisfaction in spite of whatever we may possess. Only when there is peace, only when there is peace, it is as if we have the whole world. When there is no peace, we can have everything else, but it is as if we have nothing. Therefore, the goal, the objective of our culture and civilization is to achieve peace.
How can we have peace? Satyam, or truth, is the basis of all virtues. When we examine our present-day world, we find that there is only 25% truth. Everywhere you turn, you can find falsehood. Falsehood comes from untruth suspicion, from suspicion distrust, from distrust fear, and from fear conflict. As truth is the basis of shanti, the person who follows the path of truth will have a stable mind, a stable understanding, a clear vision, and will be fearless. Only the person who follows the path of truth is fearless. Truth alone triumphs. That was a quote published in the November 1993 issue of the magazine.
What is good, what is necessary, that is what we should do. A cleaner who performs his duties properly is greater than a king who does not. The emphasis on duties is that we put our whole heart into it, whatever we are doing. That is the secret of life. Performing actions wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, brings perfection. That is austerity. That elevates the soul. Our whole attitude to things in life. We must always aim at the highest. We must do everything to the best of our ability. That elevates us. Doing things half-heartedly does not get us anywhere. This world is bound by action except what is done for sacrifice. Therefore, act for the sake of the community, for the good of others, free from attachment. The whole world, all beings, are attached to the fruit of action. So they become bound to action, to the world. An invisible chain of what we call attachment is around our neck. We become bound like the child is bound to his mother with the umbilical cord. Therefore, perform actions free from attachment for the sake of our duties, for the good of the world, of all beings, of all creatures, and not for our own benefit, but like a mother who does things for her child without expecting it to give something back. She acts for the good of the child. That is karma yoga. And that was from Share International magazine, November 1998.
And that is all we have time for. So thank you very much for listening in today. We hope you enjoyed those articles. If you'd like further information, check out the website share-international.org. Otherwise, feel free to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Wishing you all a lovely week.
Your Language on Planet Audio.